Welcome to Discovering Spirit Within. This is Reverend Deborah Phillips coming to you from Spiritual Life Center in Sacramento, California. I thought about calling this podcast The Process of Recovery, and that seemed so really boring. And I really liked the idea that get over it isn't a thing. You know, when you're going through something and someone says, oh, just get over it. We don't just get over things. And what's brought this up for me is I continue to have conversations with people about how they're recovering from the effects of the two-year shutdown from the COVID-19 pandemic. And a lot of people, including me, sometimes think, man, we should be over this by now. We should be just motoring along like it never happened. And that's the crux of it right there, is I think we maybe want to pretend that something negative never happened and we just want to move on. And the reality is something as major as that lockdown that we all went through has to be dealt with. It has to be sorted out. And it's really helpful to understand what our own personal reactions and responses to it were. I think one of the challenges that we have is that when it started so quickly and the rug was pulled out from under us so fast that we were just scrambling to keep up and to maintain our everyday lives. And while it gave us lots of time to think and to read and to do different things and change the way we did things, on another level, I'm not sure how much of it all we have processed yet. I talk to people every day who feel different somehow, but they don't quite understand what happened. They know that their preferences in life have changed, or their motivation has changed. Mine have. Some of the things that I used to really enjoy doing, I don't even care about anymore. And things that I didn't really like very much, I don't want to do at all. One of those happens to be shopping for clothes. I can't even make myself go into a clothing store right now. I don't know what happened. Why that two-year break, pretty much two-year break, changed my thinking so much. And it wasn't even, I mean, I didn't sit down and think about, oh, did I like shopping before? Am I going to like it less afterwards? None of that was ever going on in my head. One of the things that I imagined during the shutdown, and of course now, is that I am sure that there are a whole bunch of sociology majors getting dissertations out of all of this. And they're probably having a great time researching and researching us and seeing what's going on and how things have changed and why we are the way we are now. It's probably a fairly fascinating endeavor at the moment. But on the everyday level, it's really kind of annoying and frustrating because in some respects, I sometimes wonder who I still am. And yeah, I'm Deborah Phillips. I'm the Associate Minister at Spiritual Life Center, and I do these things. But inside, something's different, and I still haven't pinpointed it. And I know that I am not the only one having this experience. I sit with people every day, and we talk about it. And I don't like to do this anymore, but I really wouldn't want to do this anymore. Now, on top of the fallout from the lockdown itself, many, many, many people actually experienced the virus. And experiencing the virus is a whole other level of shift and change because it makes changes to your body, it makes changes to your psychological makeup, it makes changes to, well, practically everything. And if a person had the virus during the lockdown, I can't even imagine what that must have been like. I managed to get 3 years out before I went through the experience of having the virus, and I can tell you that I feel very different. My energy isn't quite what it was, and I'm sure it will come back, but that's requiring patience, which means this thing's a process. All of it's a process. I'm not sure we like processes. We human beings just want answers now. We want things to be better now. And so I'm guessing that where this podcast is coming from is was really feeling energetic for a few days, and all of a sudden, man, that energy just kind of went away. And I know I'm not sick. I know I am in the recovery process. It's been 5 months, but it's very frustrating. So it's making me look at the whole process of recovery. Now, of course, I know many, many, many people who are in recovery from drugs and alcohol and all those different kinds of addictions that that people go to groups and work really hard to overcome. And most of those people really understand that recovery is a process. For those of us who are in this recovery process from the pandemic and the virus and all of the changes that came with that, we're probably sitting here thinking, but this isn't something I did to myself. Why can't I just get over it? Why can't I just move on? I mean, I can understand why a person who's been in deep addiction for many years has to go through a process. I get that. But I can see myself, I hear myself thinking, look, I had this 5 months ago. The lockdown was 2 years ago. Let's get over it and move on. And I'm not really saying that to other people. I'm saying that to me. It's like, okay, you know, it happened. Let's just stop it and move on to the next thing. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm stuck. It doesn't mean that you're stuck. But again, I talk to so many people who are still trying to figure their lives out because it's almost like we did have a restart. I'm not even going to say it was almost like a restart. We had a restart. There was this huge pause. I mean, 2 years is a very short period of time in certain respects. In another respect, it's a very long time. I was talking to someone the other day who works with children, and this interruption in children's lives of 2 years of pulling them out of school, trying to teach them online, has been very, very, very disruptive for many of the children, and some of them are not coping very well. And so I think, okay, children aren't coping very well. What are adults doing? How are we off balance? What can we do to get back in balance? And I admit that today I'm feeling off balance, which is why that came up, which is giving me the opportunity to think through what it is that maybe I need to do or suggestions I could give to you is how do we get back in that groove? And maybe the first answer is maybe we don't want to get back into that old groove. There were probably really good things about whatever groove you were in, but is it one that you really want to go back to in its entirety? It probably felt safe. It served you in some respect because you were doing it, and I'm speaking for myself as well. But I'm sure that there are other things in that groove that you would probably be happy to change and happy to do differently or happy to not have in your life anymore. But that groove was so comfortable. It was so easy. I've made the analogy that stopping was really pretty easy. It threw us all off base. And at church, we really had to scramble to try to figure out how to continue to have Sunday services. And I learned a lot from all of that. I learned how to do this podcast. I learned to go stand in a room with one other person and give a talk to a camera. I learned how to do announcements to a camera. It was a really productive time for me in that respect. Starting back up again was much, much harder. And I grew up in a railroad town, so I always have this picture of a train standing still and then them starting to move and how long it takes a train to really get moving, especially a long passenger train or a freight train. You don't just step on the gas and go zooming down the road. It takes a bit to get that momentum going. And when we came back to doing live services after 2 years, we had forgotten little details. We knew the big things that we needed to do, but a lot of the little details that go into putting that Sunday service together or the things that we did during the service to make this little thing work better or this little thing, they had fallen out of our heads. And it took us, I would say, at least 2 months to start picking all those pieces back up and putting them back together. In that process, we did make some changes, and though they were good changes. And of course, now we're back totally in the flow. We are back in our groove. And I guess one of the good things about this is that I notice more now. For some reason, I'm more aware of all the little nuances and changes that we have going than I was before. I knew that we were into detail, but somehow getting out of that groove and then having to create a new one was, it actually expanded my consciousness about what I do, and not just about Sunday service, but how I do the podcast, how I do everything, even what I do here at home, and how do I do it differently. And what are the things that I have very much in a groove? Getting up in the morning, feeding the cats. There's this little groove that we're in because the cats like it. It works for me. It keeps everybody peaceful. And there's nothing that interferes with my life in that particular groove. And perhaps there's a difference between being in a groove and being on autopilot. When you're on autopilot, you're not thinking about anything. You're just doing the thing, and you're not even thinking about possibly doing it differently. Being in a groove means that you are still aware of what's going on, and you can change it here and there. Okay, so I've gotten a little off topic. The thing is, we have all endured or gone through a massive collective consciousness change. And that is not something that you just get over. Now, I have always objected to that thing of just get over it anyway, because I feel like it completely invalidates another person's feelings and invalidates the person. If a person is having an emotional response to something, then that's a valid thing, and they need to be allowed to work through it. Now, if they're going over it and over it and over it and over it and not doing anything to move forward, that's another conversation. But still saying, well, just get over it, is just respectful. I will sometimes say to myself, Deborah, get over yourself. Not over the thing, but get over yourself. And when I say that, I'm telling myself to stop and think about why I'm really upset. I know I say this a lot, but the thing in A Course in Miracles that changed my life was the lesson that says you are never upset for the reason you think. That was life-changing for me. And so when I have got myself in a tizzy, I'm all tizzied out and I'm whatever, it's like I will stop myself. And sometimes I will say, Deborah, get over yourself, which means, you know, why am I really upset? Then I figure out why I'm really upset. And a lot of times it's just because I've taken something personally, or I don't feel like I can do it, or whatever the reason is. And so if I can get over myself, which in my vocabulary means get over my fear, stop making such a big deal out of this and find a solution, that's not telling myself to get over it. And sitting and talking with someone else and saying, so why do you think you're really upset? What do you think really is going on here? What need is not being met? Or what need do you, you know, what need are you looking to meet? Is very different from saying, get over it. Everything is a process. And I just started to say that nothing happens instantly. And then I started to say, but maybe it does. And then I realized that nothing happens instantly. There's a woman who tells a story about being in an abusive, dysfunctional relationship, a marriage for many, many years. And one day, seemingly out of the blue, something happened and she got it. And she said, ah, I don't have to be here anymore. And she just left. Now, she might say that that felt sudden to her. And perhaps the realization was a sudden thought in her head, but it had been building for years and years in years. She needed to get to a certain point, a certain level of perhaps discomfort, a certain level of self-knowledge, whatever, wherever it was she needed to get, didn't happen in an instance. The realization was like this ping, but it was really the culmination of a lot of accumulated thoughts and ideas and experiences that brought her to that point. And that's how all of this works, and that's how it's all working now. What's so interesting to me about this COVID recovery thing, the shutdown recovery, whatever we want to call it, is that we are all still processing, but because the government has proclaimed the pandemic to be over, it's like we've decided we need to be over it too, and are not realizing that we still have an enormous amount of emotional energy and psychological energy and even physical stuff to sort out and to process. And if we don't process it, it's just going to get stuck there and we're going to feel off balance for the rest of our lives. Now, the one thing that I haven't mentioned is how off balance spiritually a lot of people became during this last 3 years. But there's a lot of people who came back to spirituality or discovered their own spirituality during this time as well, partly because there was time to stop and think about it. Unity and Science of Mind and most of the New Thought churches tend to have a slightly older following. Part of that is because this teaching requires your attention. It requires focus, and older people have that time. If you are young and in a career, or you're married and raising a family, or whatever it is you're doing, it's hard to fit that in. And I am so relieved to discover that the younger generations are actually more interested in spirituality than religion and are finding ways to be involved in that. My point is that all of the things that have happened, the emotional, psychological, physical things that have happened to us, also have a spiritual component to them. And if you have a good spiritual foundation, whatever it is, whether it's religious or spiritual or whatever it is you do to connect with the higher energies, that inner you, that place that has never been touched by the outside world, perhaps you have motored through all these things a little bit more successfully than some other people. However, I'm guessing that you may still feel off balance too, because we all do. What do we do with that? Well, I'm not going to give you any advice as such. I'm going to make some suggestions. And one of the things is, if you are still feeling off balance in any way, make a list of those things that make you feel off balance. Just write them down. Don't give them a lot of energy. The whole idea here is to get them out of your head where you can see them and go, oh, that's where I feel off balance. I feel off balance a little bit spiritually, which I think is very interesting, because on a deep level, I am still very, very connected. And I am following the little seeds that are given to me to do what is next. At the same time, because I deal with so many other people who have been off balance and are confused, I get that real sense of it's time for us to somehow, in some way, become more spiritually connected. And perhaps it's about sorting out our mental, emotional, physical things to allow us to give us more time to tune in. Or maybe it is about taking the time to take a moment and sit down and take a breath and find that inner space that has never been touched by the outside world. It doesn't mean you have to sit down and meditate 20 minutes twice a day. It doesn't mean that you have to do it at the same time every day. Those are good advice, but right now, it'd be more important to simply find that connection. take 1 minute. There is a book called The 1 Minute Meditation, and it takes you through a couple of exercises, and then it says, stop reading this book until you get this exercise, you know, figured out or get used to it. I've never gone back to the book because it was working for me so well. And all I would do is I'd get my phone and I would set it for 1 minute, and I would sit in quiet, in silence for that 1 minute. One day I was out with my husband. We were going to do things, and I didn't want to be out doing things. I just wanted to be home. And we went to Costco, and he was putting gas in the car, and I was sitting in the car, and I was out and I didn't want to be. And I thought, okay, I have to do something. And so I got out my phone and I set it for 1 minute, the timer for 1 minute. And I closed my eyes and I got quiet and I just sat there for that 1 minute. And when the timer went off, I felt completely different. I didn't try to work at anything. I wasn't talking to myself. I wasn't doing affirmations. I wasn't trying to make myself feel better. I just got quiet for that 1 minute, and I went to the place that is within me that has been untouched forever. And my timer rang, and then just about the same time, my husband got back in the car, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? It was amazing. So it doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. It doesn't have to take a lot of work. This is not about telling yourself to get over it. This is about loving yourself through confusion, low energy, whatever it is that's happened for you during this time. It's about discovering what that is. And that's why I suggest a list. And even if you make the list, I'm not suggesting that you really do anything with it. It's just a matter of getting it out in front of you and going, oh, that's why I feel off balance. Okay. All right. Now I can do something about that in one way or another. Or maybe simply knowing what's making you feel off balance is all you need. And then you take that 1 minute, just 1 minute, to be quiet. You know, if you're at work and you're getting wound up about something, or you're feeling that off balance thing again, just take your phone, go into the bathroom, set the timer for a minute, and do a quiet minute. It's amazing what that 60 seconds will do for you. And again, you're not getting over it. You might be getting over yourself a little bit. And by that, I mean getting over your oh my God, your ain't it awfuls, and coming back to more balance. It's never about invalidating. It's never about saying that you're wrong. It's never about it's not okay. It's about discovering where you are, what you're really upset about, where you really feel off balance, what need is not being met. And then you can move forward in some way or another. So between that list and taking the minute, now obviously you can take longer, but the minute is so incredibly valuable that I just really encourage you to try it. Taking that minute for yourself is one of the greatest gifts you can give to you, because the more you can stay in contact with your inner self, your inner unblemished self, your inner unannoyed self, the better you're going to feel, and the more you're going to be able to find ways to find balance in your life. So the next time someone looks at you and says, oh, just get over it, just smile and give them love and walk on and know that it is a process. And the process actually can be a beautiful, beautiful journey if you allow it to be. And when you go about it in this way, you start coming from a point of love, loving yourself, and then allowing that love to spread out to others. And I'm not telling you to love everyone. I'm saying that when you have love coming from within you, they feel that. And everything starts to work much better because of that energy of love just coming from you. And when you are operating from that unblemished point within yourself, you can manifest as the very best you that you are in that moment. And maybe in that moment, you kind of have gotten over something. But the truth is that things that happen have happened. They're here. They happened. Getting over it? No. Getting past it, integrating it into your life, learning lessons from it? Sure. All of that is possible, but you have to understand what happened first. And when it comes to this recovering from the pandemic type of thing, or recovering from having had the virus, or recovering from just this whole debacle that we've gone through, if you look at it from the point of view that it is a process, that a lot of good things happened, a lot of good things have been learned, a lot of people had space to think about things that they never thought of before, and maybe they didn't want to, but hey, they got to anyway. When you can look at it from that point of view, and when you can stay in touch with that inner self, you can move forward in such beautiful ways. And I really hope that you will make that list and take that moment. And I wish you a beautiful, amazing, wonderful week. Thank you for listening today. Discovering Spirit Within is produced by Spiritual Life Center. If you enjoyed our discussion and feel inspired to support us, you can go to slcworld.org/donate. And now, until we meet again, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the son and daughter of peace to you, and may the joys of the world go with you.